Thank you. If we could turn to Ruth 3 in our Bibles. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not find to try a home for you, where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself, and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Where are you?" "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you have showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." So the book of Ruth is brilliant, really. It's very much so plot-driven, and yet you get to really know who the characters are and understand how they're driven and what they really want and desire. You really get to know them. It's a book in which God's love and providence is really seen against a backdrop of great tragedy in chapter 1 and also contrasted with disobedience as we know from the book of Judges that is at the same time. God's blessing comes out all the more, though, because of these two things, the tragedy and the disobedience. So quickly to recap where we've been, chapter 1 can be summarised by the word tragedy, really, as I said. And we're introduced to Elimelech, who's married to Naomi, and they've got 2 children, Mahlon and Chilion. They go from Bethlehem to Moab because of the famine. There's a famine in Israel, and they decide that they're best off go to Moab where there is food. 10 years pass by, and the children, Mahlon and Chilion, they marry Moabite women, but they die, leaving childless Moabite women. And Elimelech dies as well, who's the father. So Ruth, who was married to one of the sons, so Naomi's daughter-in-law, she stays with Naomi and shows great faith in chapter 1, where she says, "Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God." The other daughter daughter-in-law decides to go back to Moab, though. It's a morbid ending, really, in chapter 1, but there is some hope. There's a hint in the very, very last verse of chapter 1, where it's time for the harvest. So you get a little hint into what might be happening in the next few chapters. And chapter 2, that comes out all the more, where the hope is really seen where we get introduced to Boaz. He was a kind and wealthy landowner. He's harvesting a bumper crop at this time, and he gives Ruth a job and gifts of barley and protection from the other workers. Naomi sees this. Naomi sees that Boaz is a possibility here for Ruth, and says that she sees his good character, and says he's not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. Hope is now a reasonable thing. It's possible. God is good. Boaz is the Redeemer. Chapter 3 starts with great uncertainty, though. Naomi is almost frantic about the hope of Boaz. She uses very controlling words, it seems, very specific words. And it could be asked, does Naomi care at all about Ruth? Is she just after an heir? Is she just after something to a source of food on her table? And chapter 3 itself can be cut into three main parts. The first, Naomi talking to Ruth and telling Ruth to go to the field. And then Boaz and Ruth's interaction with each other on the fields. And then Ruth coming back to Naomi and telling her what happened, giving a report of the day, night. So first, I think we need to ask ourselves two questions. The first of which is, what is a kinsman redeemer? Now, I would like to think that Tom will go into this in much more detail next week, but in Deuteronomy 25, it clearly lays out that when a man dies, his assets are redeemed by a relative. The idea of this is to restore a family line and to bring about an offspring. It's also to relieve poverty and assign a general care for the poor in society. There is a pecking order, though, as we see in this chapter, and the priority is for the closer related. The second question is the events of this chapter normal for the time? Although kinsman redeemer, the idea is prescribed, the exact arrangement here is not really prescribed. Exactly what Ruth and Naomi should be doing, it's never really prescribed. So it could be the norm, but it seems odd, but it could be the norm. And we very much so need to be aware that arranged marriages were the norm of society, which is very, very different to how we do things. So tonight we're going to look at three strands of godly behaviour: godly rest, godly obedience, and godly integrity. And as I said, these are against the backdrop of tragedy and a dysfunctional society, but God's blessing comes out all the more. So firstly then, godly rest. Does that just work? Okay. So rest is focused on in the Old Testament and the New, obviously, as well. It's the general idea is that God's people find rest in him. God wants people to find rest in him. And that's the main idea there. This first scene in creation, where we have 6 days of God creating and the seventh where he rests. It's also prescribed in the Ten Commandments. Also, too much rest is a bad thing, as seen in Proverbs, in many Proverbs, but Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. So what about Ruth then, the book of Ruth? Well, it's first seen in chapter 1, where Naomi asks Ruth and Orpah to go back to their homeland and to find rest in the home of another husband. Naomi has nothing to offer her daughters-in-law. The only possibility for them is to find rest in Moab. But Naomi's mind changes, however. And the only reason we can think of for this change is the events of chapter 2, where we see Boaz and his kindness. So Naomi says to her daughter-in-law, "My daughter, I must find a home for you, where you'll be well provided for." Now, home is also rest. The ESV says rest. So Ruth obeys, though, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. So this is essentially a proposal, really. The uncovering of his feet is a bit like a bride's head being covered. Boaz wakes up. He's startled and asks Ruth who she is. It's not surprising, really. If I had someone sleeping on my feet, I'd ask who they were. I'd probably kick them as well. But let's be thankful for Boaz and his good behaviour. Ruth says, "I'm your servant, Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." This is a very emphatic and bold cry for help. Ruth is basically saying here, "I want to find rest in you, Boaz." Spread your cloak is a very important phrase. But why? Ruth in chapter 2 gives us the answer to this to an extent, where Boaz says to Ruth, "A full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, whose wings you have come to take refuge." So that's Boaz saying to Ruth, "You found rest in God." God says it himself as well in Ezekiel chapter 16, where he says, talking about the Israelites, that he passed by them and spread the corner of his garment over them, and they were his. Ruth is saying here, that rest that I found in God, he promises it to me, and he promises it to his people, and I want to find that rest in you as well. It's weighty. The rest that Ruth wants to find in Boaz is being likened to the rest that his people can find in God. His there being God. But what is the rest? Well, I think it's not the idea of TV, watching the TV after a long day, or sleep, but the idea of shelter, warmth, comfort, being away from danger, where a bond is never broken, it's unshakable. So Boaz finds rest in, so Ruth finds rest in Boaz in the same way that God allows his people to find rest in him, as expressed in the words of Ezekiel. But where can we find rest? Can we even? Who can we find rest in? Well, I think the very first answer to this question is Jesus. He says to his listeners, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Again, the idea of protection, shelter, comfort, and love. We can find this when we run to Jesus, in the same way that Ruth found it when she ran to Boaz. It's one of the many redeeming features of Boaz and of Jesus, the rest that can be found in them, but Boaz to a lesser extent. The brilliant thing is that Ruth's hardships were mainly gone when she found rest in Boaz. She was widowed, and now she's provided for. She's now safe and loved. She had no possibility of offspring before, and now that possibility is there. She was poor, and now Naomi could be provided for as well. So have you asked for rest? Not in Boaz, but in Jesus. Have you asked for it? It's the only possibility for us. There's no other rest that's good enough. The hole that sin does not fill can only be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. He saves us from our lives and also individual situations. Because life is hard. The cat throws up. The boss is rude. The wife is moaning. It goes on and on and on. Life is hard. And we so easily find rest in other things. And we need to find it in Jesus. Maybe some of us have been Christians for a very long time. Maybe it's very slow. Maybe slowly our Bible readings are becoming less and less and less, shorter and shorter. Maybe only once a week, once a month, once a year even, becoming shorter, or once a week missing them. Whether daily or in a crisis, we need to find rest in Jesus. And I hope that we do. Secondly, godly obedience is seen here. The plan that Naomi hatches out for Ruth is for her to wash herself and to put on her best clothes, to anoint herself in perfume and to present herself as a bride. Similarly, again to Ezekiel, where God talks about his people, he says, I bathed with water and washed the blood from you and put ointments on you. I clothed you with an embroidered dress and put sandals on you, of fine leather. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. It's hard to obey Naomi here. I think if I was in that situation, I'd find it hard as well. Ruth is a Moabite. The Moabites were renowned for their ungodliness. So Ruth would be thinking, yeah, I am recently trusting in God, following this God of my mother-in-law, but my people, they are renowned for their ungodliness, and maybe things will be misinterpreted. My reputation could be spoiled. Maybe I'd never find a husband. Maybe I'll be a widow forever. So a lot of faith is required, but she is unflinchingly obedient. She just says, I'll obey you, I'll do what you say. Boaz is obedient as well. He obeys the Kinsman Redeemer in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament law. But those verses in Deuteronomy 25, they're not obligatory. It's not like you break the law if you're not a Kinsman Redeemer. You are, to be fair, publicly shamed, but it's not breaking the law. So he actually goes above the law in showing kindness to Ruth. Naomi as well, she's obedient to the word of God. I think, as I was saying before, you can question Naomi's actions, that maybe she's acting in desperation, but I do think she's trusting God in his promises. She's trusting him to the extent that she's willing for Ruth to take a risk, knowing that God will provide. So we see here three examples of obedience to the word of God. And we found this as well when we were converted. Did you? We maybe found out more and more from the Bible, came to church, were taught lots, and eventually, though, we had to stop and be obedient. All the questions had to stop, and we just had to be obedient. And are we really obedient to the word of God in all of our lives, in all aspects? Are we seeking to be obedient to it? Do we take risks even? God says that he will provide for his people, and do we really trust him, even when risks are involved? We need to be obedient to God's way of saving and not our own. Are we listening to the encouragements that are in the Bible? Are we being reminded of them? Are we being warned? Are we heeding the warnings that are in the Bible? Are we obeying the commands? Are we upholding the doctrines? So we've seen godly rest and godly obedience, but we also see godly integrity. So firstly, we just need to define godly integrity. I think most of us will be able to find it quite quickly, but as quickly it's doing the right thing and not doing the wrong thing. But I think it's a little bit more than that. It's also behaving in a godly way when there's a possibility of ungodly behavior. There are reasons to doubt in this chapter that Ruth and Boaz were ungodly. They slept together. After all, Ruth was recently converted. She was a Moabite. She's employed by Boaz. She's poor. It was dark and the others were asleep. So in this circumstance, sin is very much a possibility. There were real emotions. There's real feelings that could be comforted, and Boaz could be thinking it's a reward for his harvest even. But I think they didn't sleep together, and the Bible does not say either way, to be fair, but often the silence is noise in the Bible when on this matter, where the norm for the rest of the Bible is that it makes it very clear when people slept together and the consequences of that. Also, Boaz says to Ruth, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. This is a commendation from Boaz, and making it clear that nothing happened that night. It was ungodly. Boaz, as we learned last week, was one of the very few people where nothing bad is said about him. He's also a particular example of godly integrity. He doesn't take advantage of her. He treats her with respect. He doesn't laugh at her. He calls her daughter a term of endearment. He provides protection for her as well. So Ruth and Boaz are examples of godly integrity. But also, there's another point to see here, that they weren't only doing the right thing, they were making sure that they were seen to do the right thing, or making sure that it was not seen, that it was not deemed they could be doing the wrong thing. They were above reproach, you could say. So Ruth makes sure that she is not seen, because she goes home before it's light. Not because she sinned and has something to hide, but so that it doesn't look like she has. And her reputation is taken into question. So what does this mean for us then? Well, we see here examples of godly integrity. And in short, we need to be it. We need to do it. We need to be an example to others in our daily walk. The bar is set very high for us. Paul in Ephesians says there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. We see many examples of godly integrity in the Bible. Joseph, Joshua, Daniel, Enoch. But Christ is our example, is our ultimate example of integrity, much more so than Ruth or Boaz. He's still human. Boaz, who is still human, and still did things wrong in general. Christ, though, is completely acting with integrity and is the ultimate example for us, and we should live like him. So how do these three themes link together? The ideas of rest, obedience, and integrity. So Ruth found rest. Therefore, and because of that rest, she could be obedient to God and to Naomi and show integrity to others. And that's the same for us as well. It's only when we find rest in God that we're able to be obedient to him and be a people of integrity. So this chapter is all about love at work. And those three examples of godly behaviours are clearly seen here, despite their circumstances of tragedy and human frailty in that situation. Love at work has triumphed over the horrible circumstances, and God has been at the centre of it all. So in this chapter, we've seen that Ruth found rest in Boaz, and this same rest can be found in Jesus. We've also seen that all three characters here were obedient to God by trusting his word. And this is something that we need to be doing as well in our daily lives, but also when we come in faith and obedience to him on the day of our conversion. Lastly, we saw that Ruth and Boaz were examples of godly integrity, something that points to Christ. And we should strive to do this also, looking to Christ as our example, ultimate example of perfection, and trying to live like him. So in the same way that Ruth rested in Boaz, will you find rest in Jesus? In the same way that Naomi and Boaz particularly obeyed God, will you obey him? In the same way that Ruth and Boaz showed godly integrity, will you be examples of integrity?